Well, hey, my health masters, friends, and family. Welcome back once again for another day of health research and world news, my friends. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day. As always, staying healthy and strong, and you've come to the right place to get your health topics, your natural nutrition, your supplements, whatever you need, we got you in that realm. So be sure to check us out at healthmasters.com. The product of the week on sale, B-Complex, over 16% off. Be sure to check it out on product of the week right here. There we go. 16% off. That'll be going on for one more day tomorrow. It'll be changing. And I think on the platform, let me see what you guys voted on. Looks like D3 with K2 is winning by a landslide. Surprise, surprise again on that one. So be sure to vote to see what it's going to be and what you want to make it tomorrow. And also check out the best sellers of all the primary supplements we have, the D3 10,000 K2, Magnesium Brain Food, Ultimate Multiple Caps Without Iron, Multiple Powder, big popular one. Check those out at bestsellers. And also, don't forget to check out the podcast site, BroRoshow.com, to get all your daily update news here on the latest episodes. You click right on them. You can go on Apple, iHeart, Gab, Spotify, Rumble. We got them everywhere. So be sure to check them out. And about the episode show notes, we give it to you guys as clean and as simple as possible, right to your inbox if you'd like. So click the updates, put your name in there, your email. Click the Brower Show and the Health Masters Report. That'll get you the daily update, sales specials, 3-packs, and all the other things we have on Health Masters, along with the podcast, sent right to your inbox every single day. So be sure to check that out at BrowerShow.com. And without further ado, I have my guest, my co-host. He needs no introduction. Dr. Ted Brower here with us today. Are you with us today, my friend?
I'm here today, and I should be on video. Am I on video with you guys also?
We're hot and running, man. Everything's working perfect this morning. I know we had a little technical glitch yesterday, but we're hot today.
That's because Michael Barrett and I, about 30 minutes ago, ran the whole show and did the preview of all of it. We've already done all this already today, so we're good. So we had it run and go. By the way, there's a really good article out, and I want to talk about it for a second because it ties right together with what we've talked about so many times. A man who didn't sleep for 8 days reveals his slow descent into madness, and it's only after he slept was he basically did he get back. In fact, he got so bad, Austin, he was admitted to a psychiatric ward, and it was unbelievable. He was not making any kind of sense. He had plans to end racism, sexism, end wars, cure cancers. He had become completely and totally hallucinogenic. And it was just and it was only 8 days. And, you know, and it's funny when you look at this, you start realizing what happens when you don't sleep. You start to understand that within the first 24 hours, your hormones completely change. And you start to have all kinds of problems with your immune system. It turns into a really, really big mess. And the sad part about it is that within the first 24 hours of sleep deprivation, your body's hormones levels change. You have an increased rate of blood pressure. By day two, the body's no longer able to break down glucose, but giving you carbohydrate cravings. The person's body temperature always drops. Their immune system drops. And it's funny for me that this happens. And, you know, the same thing happens to a lot of football players. They end up with what's called traumatic brain injuries. And that's why they have all these helmet laws now and helmet rules. And I think they're great, you know, spearing, and they get kicked out of the games for doing it. And I think that's long overdue. They should have been doing that, you know, 40 years ago. But the reality is when they have these traumatic brain injuries, one after the other, get hit in the head constantly, they end up having a lot of health problems and a lot of many times they get diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And they start having manic episodes, depressive episodes. And one of the side effects of manic depressive episodes and bipolar disorder is a lack of sleep. And you simply can't sleep. You lay in bed, just your brain won't turn off. You sit there all night. And the longer you descend into that, the worse you get. Then you start getting that crazy look in your eyes, you know, when you look like this and your eyes are wide open like Britney Spears does. And it's kind of scary. But it's just one of those things that you need to realize. If you have a loved one that's going through this and they're suffering with something like this, it's really important to get them help, and it's really important to find a way to get them to sleep. Because if you don't, they could have a descent into madness. And the sad part about it is about 40% of the bipolar people, they end up committing suicide or attempting suicide. So be real, real careful with somebody if you know they've had head injuries or they have bipolar disorder. One of the things that you can do is use our Sleep Like a Baby kit. You know, it uses the mushroom complex. It uses the melatonin. It uses the magnesium products. It's a great, great product. And I tell you, it works well, even if you're jet lagged or in another country, or if you're just trying to get some sleep. Another thing you got to avoid is you got to get off the coffee. Really important to get off caffeine, coffee, and don't sit up at night watching a blue screen on your telephone before you go to bed, and always turn off your Wi-Fi before you go to bed, because the Wi-Fi is like a little microwave oven. It sits there and just cooks your head. So many people, they basically will put the Wi-Fi by their pillow, or they'll sleep on top of it as a pillow. So if it buzzes or rings, they can hear it. Don't ever do that. You're sticking your head in a microwave is what you're doing. It massively increases the risks of brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, all of this stuff. Keep the phones turned off. Try to turn the Wi-Fi off in the house if you want to have the best sleep you've ever had. What do you think, Austin?
You're pretty much spot on with that. Sleep is extremely important. I mean, it helps the body cleanse itself at night. It helps your body repair. Helps hormone balance. It's crucial. I mean, they've done sleep deprivation. Numerous test studies over, centuries, they've tested it and experimented with it, and it pretty much ends up the same way every time. There's no way to get around it. You can only go without sleep for so long before you start having immense side effects, and so you're exactly right on that. Make sure you're taking the right supplements. And, yeah, the two things that I've noticed personally probably has the biggest effect is trying to get the Wi-Fi off, which is going to be difficult if you're traveling or you're somewhere. At home, easy, but traveling – and, yeah, keep your phone away from your head at night. I mean, it's a big microwave. That's what it is. And so, I mean, you don't need it underneath your pillow. You know, even the nightstand's pretty close. A lot of times you put it on the other side of the room, you're fine. And also, yes, the screen lights, whether it's TV, whether it's computers, whether it's iPads, whether it's laptops, whether it's phones, the emitted light from those blue lights stimulates the pineal gland, basically, to sense that it thinks it's outside. It's got sunlight. They've done numerous testing on this now. They find that if people stay on a phone within like 15 minutes of trying to go to sleep, their sleep is generally disrupted at the beginning. And it starts to go back to homeostasis later on, but it's disrupted at the beginning because of lack of melatonin production and other hormones. And so it's very important if you are trying to get rest, stay off the phone right before you go to sleep. Stay off the TV. Stay off the iPad. The general rule of thumb they say is try to cut out all artificial blue lights within 30 minutes of when you're planning on going to sleep. That's usually minimum, and that usually has a pretty good effect. So something to be aware of on there. Now, one article I wanted to cover, it's actually multiple articles. I've been doing research over it because I've noticed as I've gotten older now, as I'm still really young, but as I've gotten older, my body doesn't respond to sugar the way it used to. And I've noticed the more, like, if I do something, like, again, the other day I took the kids out. We got some organic ice cream, really good ice cream. But I noticed that night when I was getting ready, I went out and did some cardio and hit the gym. I noticed my joints weren't feeling as good as they normally felt. They weren't bad, but they felt a little inflamed. And there was a lot of sugar. We ate a lot of ice cream. I'm not even going to put some halo over my head on that, but we do it on a rare occasion. And there's some articles here I was researching, and here's a couple of them here discussing sugar and why it's so bad for you. And the more you start figuring this out, the more you start realizing, yeah, it's enjoyable with certain meals. Yeah, it's enjoyable with desserts and so forth. But, man, you've got to limit it to small amounts because it has an almost exponential effect on inflammation. Whereas if you're eating something, with like 30 grams of sugar, and then you eat something with like 40 grams of sugar, the effects on inflammation start compounding. And I've been finding this out as I was doing a bunch of research on it last night, and I figured, you know what? If I'm reading about this, I can't be the only one that's had issues with this. So let's research it together. PubMed Central, here's a research study from the end of 2022. Excess intake of sugar, an accomplice of inflammation. High sugar intake has long been recognized as a potential environmental risk factor for increased incidence of many non-communicable diseases, including obesity, cardiovascular disease, metabolic syndrome. Goes down the list. It says dietary sugars, including glucose, fructose, sucrose, high fructose corn syrup, these sugars primarily absorb in the gut. The consumption of high sugar beverages and processed foods has increased significantly over the past 30 years. They said, we summarize the effects of consuming high levels of dietary hexose on rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, psoriasis, inflammatory bowel disease, and low chronic inflammation. Based on the report's findings, we emphasize that dietary sugars and mixed processed foods are a key factor leading to the occurrence and aggravation of inflammation. Listen to this. I'm going to put this on camera four. We concluded by revealing the roles that excessive intake of hexose, which is basically like all types of primary dietary sugars, on the regulation of human inflammatory diseases are fundamental questions that need to be solved urgently. Moreover, close attention should also be paid to the combination of high glucose-mediated immune balance and tumor development. They're saying here now, this research, that sugar is feeding cancer tumors. You can go down further in this article here if you want to read all of it, and I'll post it. It's a very long article, but it's really, 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 really well written if you want to go into the full, deep scientific dive of it. And it shows here, you know, as far as what it does in the body, how it affects inflammation, all these different factors on it. And so you guys can read on it, do your own conclusion. But as I'm starting to see the more research, and there's another one here, it says dietary sugars and body weight, a systematic review and meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials and cohort studies. And it talks about the summarizing evidence on the association between intake of dietary sugars and body weights in adults and children. And it said in conclusion here, among free living people involved in these diets, intakes of free sugars or sugar sweetened beverages is a determinant of body weight. The change in body fatness that occurs when modifying intake seems to be mediated via changes in energy intakes. Since isoenergetic exchange of sugars with other carbohydrates was not associated with weight change, and what they found in here is pretty much when people cut out all the processed sugar, or at least a large percentage of it, their body fat levels dropped off precipitously right after that. This is what they did in this randomized controlled study here. You can read about it. And then another one here I want you guys to look at on camera four, high intake of sugar and the balance between pro and anti-inflammatory gut bacteria. This goes into detail on the so-called Western diet, rich in saturated fats and sugar and poor in all fibers, is associated with increased risk of metabolic and cardiovascular disease, as well as chronic low-grade inflammation. Another study going into detail on this. And it talks about how higher sugar intake increases the abundance of basically certain gut bacteria and kills the abundance of good gut bacteria. It says a high sugar intake may stagger the balance of microbiome to have increased pro-inflammatory markers and decrease the capability to regulate epithelial integrity and mucosal immunity. Consequently, high dietary sugar through the modulation of microbiome promote metabolic, systematic inflammation and development of metabolic dysregulation. Guys, I can't make it any clearer, and I know it's a hard one to cut out sometimes, but really start trying to look at the overall intake. If you're running into inflammatory problems, if you're running into body weight problems, if you're running into joint problems, all these issues in most cases are tied back to one word, inflammation. So if you're starting to have some of these issues, or you have in the past, or you're trying to mitigate, or you're just noticing things you want to tweak and make a little bit better, start looking at the sugar intake in your diet, when and where and how you eat it, how much you eat, and I promise you, you'll find if there's a change, it'll be positive if you start cutting it out. And I remember years ago, I told you guys a story. Lana had a friend, real good girlfriend of hers that she knew, and she was working as a server, and the girl didn't really eat incessantly bad, but she was having a hard time losing weight. And her diet wasn't that bad. I looked at some of the stuff she ate, and she told me, and I said, what do you drink it? She goes, I don't drink much water. I said, you don't drink much water? Like, how much? I only drink like maybe a bottle of water a day. I said, well, you're not functioning very well if you're only drinking a bottle of water a day. Are you drinking anything else? She goes, oh, yeah, I love Mountain Dew. I said, oh, you love Mountain Dew? She goes, yeah, I drink like 6, 7, 8 Mountain Dews a day. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, you know how much sugar's in that? I'm like, average sugar on those things, depending on the size of it, you're looking at 40, 50 grams of sugar. She goes, yeah, I know. I said, do me a favor. I said, detox off the Mountain Dew. Cut it out completely for 30 days. Just do a detox for a month. And sure enough, I saw her like 4 or 5 weeks later, and she was like, dude, I've already lost like 15 pounds in a month. And I said, yeah. I said, because your diet wasn't that bad. I said, you just guzzle the Mountain Dew and all that high fructose corn syrup, fatty liver disease, all types of gut problems. The inflammation will also make you retain more water weight and bloat. Remember that. When the body inflames, it starts storing as much fluid as it can to try to flush out the inflammation and detoxify the body. That's why you'll notice when your body reduces inflammation, you get your diet cleaner, you stop the sugar, you will find, in most cases, that you don't have that bloated, puffy, swollen look all the time. You know, I talked to a buddy of mine the other day. He's heavy in the weight training still, but some of his diet's off and on, and he's having, you know, a bunch of gut inflammation. And I said, I already know what you're doing. I said, what do you eat? Well, I ate this, and I ate this, and I ate this, and there you go. So that's why your gut's messed up. I said, you have no idea, and I don't think anybody does to this extent now, how toxic a lot of the sugars and a lot of the processed foods are. Because remember, the old school raw cane sugar days of the 1900s when we made pastries and food with no glyphosate, no pasture, no processed foods, no polysorbate 80, no monosodium glutamate, no high fructose corn syrup, those days don't exist. So when you use the basically the excuse, oh, my grandma used to make all this candy or cake or sugar or cookies all the time. She didn't have these problems. Your mom probably also didn't drink Coca-Cola. Your grandma didn't drink Coca-Cola high fructose corn syrup and drink everything with monosodium glutamate in it and have a host of processed foods in a daily diet. The diet we ate back then 100 years ago was insanely different than it is now, even if you think some of the same ingredients are the same, because even the similar ingredients are now heavily, heavily processed. High fructose corn syrup and raw cane sugar from 100 years ago aren't even remotely similar as far as what they do to the body anymore. High fructose corn syrup is almost always contaminated with glyphosate. Always. I don't know of a single organic high fructose corn syrup because, quite frankly, why? It's already toxic as it gets. Why make it organic? It's already contaminated with glyphosate. So look at these diets. If you're having some of these issues, check and see what's going on and how much sugar you're putting in your body. But I wanted to cover that because I did a lot of research on it last night, personally on it, with sugar, ice cream, and inflammation health. And this is why I saw this here, and I realized all this stuff is tied together back to one thing, and that's inflammation. So I wanted to cover that today for you guys, give you some more health news. I got some other stuff I'm going to pull up here in a second. What do you think about that, Dad? How much sugar is tied into energy, metabolic syndrome, cardiovascular disease, and inflammation in the body?
Well, you've got to think about the insulin fact of it. You know, and I know that a lot of people drink a lot of coffee. And I know if I start drinking coffee, I end up getting headaches. And that's almost immediate within 3 days. And it massively elevates cortisol. And what I've learned is that you can maintain your weight a whole lot better, have better sleep patterns by lowering cortisol. That's one of the things that the mushroom complex does. But the coffee in the caffeine in the coffee is bad. It elevates the cortisol very, very, very quickly. That's why the Purple Sticks, they don't do that. That's why I love the Purple Sticks so much. Like, we're the only people that make them because they're our product. And, you know, because I wasn't going to start drinking coffee again. Now, if you had decaf every once in a while, that was Swiss processed water decaf. It's not a big deal, but not every day, because it'll still contain caffeine and it'll still be something you don't want to do on an ongoing basis. Plus, what are you going to sweeten it with? You put stevia in it, but it tastes terrible in coffee. If you put regular sugar in it, now you elevate your sugar levels again. And sugar has one other thing that, you know, we really need to talk about for a second. When you elevate blood glucose, it gets stored, you know, as fat. That's really important that this happens. I remember years ago, there was a girl who had won the Miss Auburndale contest, and she was really pretty. She was a hairdresser. And I remember I went to her to get my hair cut. She did a good job. And her husband got deployed over to Afghanistan. And I'll never forget, she gained 100 pounds in 1 year. And she was drinking, like, you know, a big gulp diet soda thing every single day. And the diet soda basically has so much alcohol in it, the methanol, that it disrupts the production of lipase out of the liver, because the liver's got to detoxify that toxic sludge. And she just basically was gaining weight, gaining weight, gaining weight. She wouldn't drink water like your friend wouldn't do with the Mountain Dews.
Yeah.
And finally, you know, she gained 100 pounds in a year. And her husband came off of, you know, he came back from being deployed, and he promptly divorced her. Now you think, well, he shouldn't have done that. Hey, I'm not getting in the middle of that question. I'm not even getting involved with that at all. I'm just saying he promptly divorced her because she'd gained 100 pounds. So the woman he had left was no longer the woman he had married. And the sad part about it is when you have that much glucose in your body always is releasing insulin to store the extra glucose, because the diet sodas also disrupt blood sugar metabolism. The biggest problem with sugar, though, is when you have it elevated to that point, the insulin is a salt, and it dehydrates blood vessels. If you pour insulin on a slug or a snail or anything like that, you'll dehydrate and kill it within seconds. It does the same thing to the inside of the arteries. It makes them very, very brittle and very, very dry, and the body's got to coat them with cholesterol in order to make the blood flow smoothly over them. So when you have elevated blood sugar, this is Syndrome X now. This is why people, you know, you take the Ozempic and all the other types of Wegovy and all these other types of drugs, because they want to have the ability to lower their insulin levels without changing their diet, which is ridiculous. Just change your diet. Your insulin levels go down automatically. We did a whole show yesterday on omega-6 fats and how bad they are for you and how they elevated insulin to cause a massive increase in heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. That show yesterday, if you missed it, you need to hear it. I was audio only because of the video quality wasn't working yesterday. But the reality is it has really good information in there about omega-6 fats. And we told you which oils have the highest omega-6 fats and highest amount of linoleic acid, which you don't want. So you're right, Austin. When I eat a lot of sugar, number one, my hands start hurting almost immediately.
Yep.
And my knuckles hurt. And
that's what I noticed the other day.
So I can't do that. It's not worth it to me. I get in the gym and I'm doing shoulder presses and I'm going, okay, my shoulders are hurting. Now, why my shoulders are hurting? And all that stuff happens, I mean, within a couple of days with high sugar. Plus, I get real mucusy. I start blowing my nose. I have to, you know, it's like I've got a cold and I don't. And I remember years ago, Sharon and I went on a cruise, and it was like our honeymoon cruise. And I remember I ate a whole bunch of sugar on the cruise. It was like a 4-day cruise. And I remember by the fourth day, my nose was running and I got a cold and I was sick as a dog because it had compromised my immune system so much. The body was trying to get rid of all that poison and all that sugar and all that inflammation out of my system. So a lot of people say, well, I'll just take some Sudafed and dry it up. It's not what you want to do if you don't have to. I mean, because you got to do a show or something, or you got to go to work. That's one thing. But the reality is that your body's trying to get rid of all that inflammation and all that mucus. So stay away from sugar and processed foods. It's very, very important that you do that, because it's not going to give you any benefit whatsoever long-term wise. It really isn't. By the way, I want to cover a couple things real quick. Robert Duvall died yesterday. And he's one of the greatest actors Hollywood ever seen. I think the pinnacle of his entire career was Lonesome Dove. Now, a lot of you go, well, really? He goes, in fact, he said after he did Lonesome Dove, he goes, that's the best I've ever done. I can retire now. Of course, that was back like in 89. He continued to make great movies after that. And I was going to tell you something about him. He's a hardcore patriot. He was on Mancow's show, you know, when Mancow had a really big station 20 years ago, when he's on all these different, you know, stations all over the world. And Mancow was talking to him, and Robert Duvall said that he absolutely couldn't stand Steven Spielberg. They think, Steven Spielberg? He said, Steven Spielberg is a communist who goes down to Castro in Cuba on a regular basis to have lunch with Castro. How about that, guys? And you think, well, Steven Spielberg, but the majority of these Hollywood people are very, very communistic. They put out a lot of stuff like Schindler's List. They got the Best Picture Award many years ago. And then you find out it was a book that was written. It was complete fiction. The entire book was fiction. And they made this movie called Schindler's List like, you know, it was real. Like it was, you know, a real event that happened. The whole book was fiction. There's all kinds of articles have been written saying, hey, this didn't happen. This didn't happen. This didn't happen. This didn't happen. And of course, all that does is to put the German people down on an ongoing basis for the next forever. And so it's sad to me when that happens. Also, Jesse, the black guy that ran for president a few years ago, he passed away too. And, to me, Robert Duvall is, you know, a lot bigger story. But Robert Duvall, he's a great, great guy. And I'm really sorry that he's gone, because we're all going to miss him. We really are. Jesse Jackson is the preacher that basically also was a communist, or was a communist, a hardcore socialist, and he died yesterday. And then Anderson Cooper, the Vanderbilt fortune, who basically interned with the CIA after college, and many people still say he was still CIA. He had basically quit his 60 Minutes correspondence thing with the CBS, and I don't know why in the world he was doing it anyhow, because quite frankly, he's part of the Vanderbilt fortune. Vanderbilt fortune is the Biltmore State, if you guys want to remember all that, and Cornelius Vanderbilt and his railroad empire. So a lot of little stories like that have been happening, you know, the last few days. People have been, you know, leaving and departing the planet. And that's why I wanted to bring it up to you guys. All of us are going to be here for a little while. And there we go. It's best to maintain a really good relationship with God Almighty and with Jesus Christ if you're still here. You want to make sure that God is on your hotline. So when you pick up the bat phone, if you want to call it that, that somebody answers the other side. What you don't want to have is a 911 prayer. You know, you go, oh, my gosh, God, I'm in trouble. I'm going to shoot up a flare gun. And all of a sudden you go, oh, my gosh, God's not answering me. Well, God doesn't really know you very well, because you haven't talked to him in 25 years. And now you have an emergency and you want to talk to God. Maintain a good relationship and pray with God on an ongoing basis. I know just the other night, it was cold outside, but I had a jacket on, a hood on. I walked down to the lake, and I sat there on the swing, and I just prayed for a while, because I needed to really just tighten up a little bit as far as my prayer time. Make sure you keep that relationship good with God all the days of your life, and then he'll take care of you. Then all of a sudden, when you call up, he'll go, oh, that's Ted calling. I got to take care of it. I constantly get people calling. In fact, it happened several times this week already. I have people text me and say, could you please pray for a friend? They've had a heart attack. Can you please pray for a friend? They're going for surgery. They say, when you pray, things change. The reason for that is I have a relationship with the Most High God. We all have to have that relationship. We can all have that same relationship, but we've got to make sure that we treat God like he's our best friend, that he's our God, that he's the Savior, that he's creator of the universe, all of it. That's the relationship that we want to have with him on an ongoing basis. And that's why you always ask yourself, if I'm really having a good relationship with God, am I taking care of the body he gave me? Here's your segue. So when we're talking about stuff like this, you have to be on a sleep like a baby program, make sure you get enough sleep, or make sure you don't eat too much sugar and all the rest. we're telling you, while we're here in this body, it's basically a biocomputer that we have to take care of, and we don't want to put a bunch of sludge through it. So avoid all the sugar and make sure you never, ever eat high fructose corn syrup, Austin, and stay away from bread in the United States because almost all of it is contaminated with wheat that has been sprayed with glyphosate, and it causes severe problems with the intestinal system and with inflammation. Just avoid bread altogether unless you're in another country like Europe somewhere. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're exactly right. I do know over in Europe that they have a lot better quality bread over there because a lot of glyphosate is pretty much glyphosate banned over in Europe. And so that's one of the reasons why a lot of times the food quality over there is even better. But what's crazy to me is that, you know, we know a lot of these foods are unbelievably contaminated with preservatives. Yeah, we still eat them regularly on a regular basis in the United States. And they're showing now, you know, not only is America the sickest country as far as industrialized, it's also the fattest country. It's also the most depressed country. We got to start to ask yourself a question. What are the contributing factors to this and why is this happening? And the primary thing that everything links back to is an unbelievably toxic ultra-processed diet. Here's another targeted off topic that came up discussing that. It says deep abdominal fat linked to higher cancer rates. Imagine that. It says unlike regular fat, visceral fat actively promotes cancer through inflammation and hormone disruption. It goes on to say here that what makes visceral fat different, which seeps deep in the abdominal cavity surrounding the organs, including the liver, the pancreas, intestines, you can't pinch it or see it in the mirror, which is why many people don't realize they're carrying it. Visceral fat is also called active fat, as it's an endocrine organ that releases harmful compounds directly in the bloodstream and in the portal vein that goes straight to the liver. That is why, inherently, and this is for guys on this topic primarily, when guys start getting a lot of visceral fat, their testosterone invariably always goes down significantly. That fat actually starts producing estrogen, especially if a lot of the fat has been contributed to with a lot of really bad fats like soybean oil and other sorts. Be very cautious of this if you're trying to get your testosterone levels back in range and trying to get your body weight down. Invariably, burning body fat and getting in better shape, your body's natural testosterone will start to go up. And then you start throwing in something like the Tribulus or the Testo Plus and Tongat Alley, it'll really help increase it. And make sure you're taking the DIM estrogen control. I tell people this all the time. If you're taking those formulas, the DIM estrogen control helps keep estrogen at a good, healthy, low level in men and allows testosterone to continue to elevate while you're getting that visceral fat down. This article here says that type of fat is particularly dangerous because it secretes significantly high levels of pro-inflammatory cytokines and hormones than subcutaneous fat, contributing to chronic, low-grade, systematic inflammation. Now, do you guys see where I'm going with this now on the show today? How almost all these things are tied into, again, what did I say? Inflammation. Just like Dad was talking about with cortisol and sleep and all these other compounds, when all these things go up and inflammation goes up, every other problem in the body gets exacerbated. That's why a lot of times someone may not be having a really significant issue, maybe an underlying small problem. What happens is then something happens with inflammation, whether it's their diet, whether it's sugar, whether it's stress, and all of a sudden that underlying condition that's not that big of a deal suddenly expands to a rapid level. Why? It's because inflammation exacerbates those problems. That's why if you're having these issues, if you're battling a certain thing, make sure you're cutting out the sugar and any inflammatory products. And, you know, Dad made a comment, he said earlier, about your hands. That's what happened to me the other day after I ate all that ice cream with the kids. I went to the gym later on. I had a buddy come over. I threw on inclines, you know, warmed up a little bit, 135, 225, and my hands were hurting. And it wasn't that cold. And I was like, my knuckles were hurting. And I was like, oh, gosh, it's all that sugar I ate. And I used to not have an issue with that. But I guess as I'm getting older now, my body, again, that little bit of sugar in that ice cream, or a lot of sugar for me because I don't eat sugar at all, that little bit, I may have had a little inflammation in my hands, maybe I didn't sleep well enough, maybe had something else exacerbated. That sugar spiked those inflammatory markers, and then it came out, and I had that inflammation in the knuckles when I was going heavy on incline. So, again, be cautious of this, what you're eating, what's it doing to you, and is that okay? And also, too, another news article here, health article I wanted to cover. One last one before I got a funny article. You guys will like this. New coalition aims to ban vaccine mandates across the entire United States. Massive grassroots effort targeting measures the group says violates medical freedom, including vaccine mandates and mask mandates. New coalition composed of 15 groups include an organization founded by Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is taking aim at vaccine and mask mandates across the country. Children's Health Defense, who I talk about all the time, I get articles from them. They are leading it along with multiple other freedom coalitions here. They said what we saw during this and finding that vaccine mandates and medical mandates made them so reprehensible was we were honored to be a part of the coalition fighting to end forced medical procedures, to end medical mandates and vaccine mandates for all Americans. This shouldn't even be a state's rights. This is human rights. And this is something really cool in this article they talk about here. And this is something that I got so mad about, is that at no point in history, in the United States, I should say, have we had a point where we were all told that we universally were all demanded to get the same medical procedure. It's never happened. We had a massive out-of-control government that was controlled by Big Pharma in most cases come in and say, we've got new gene therapy technology, and everybody is required to get this shot immediately. Well, if you came in and you said, well, we've determined now COVID's been causing open-heart surgery, or it's causing cardio problems, and everybody needs to get open-heart surgery that basically is alive in the United States. It's mandated you get open-heart surgery because of COVID. People would go, that's insanely dangerous. That's insanely stupid. Nobody's the same person. Why in the world would everybody get open-heart surgery because of COVID? Well, yes, that may be a more exaggerative explanation or an exaggerative example. They wanted everybody to get RNA gene therapy, guys. This was CRISPR-9 spitoff from DARPA. I've talked about it in detail this shot. I'm not going to go into it today. And they said every single person in the entire world needs to get this experimental shot in order to be protected from a novel virus that acted like an aggressive flu. Made no sense from a medical standpoint. Not without any research and not seeing everybody's in the same category. This is what's so stupid about the childhood shot schedule. Every single child's required to get X amount of shots all the same. Nobody's the same person. Just like some people don't learn the same. Some people don't respond the same. Some people don't have health the certain same ways. And so this is a big coalition that's getting a lot of movement across all these states that's going in and wanting to put in basically requirements that's stating you cannot be forced due to Medical Freedom Act, you kind of be forced to do something against your will. Because you remember, OSHA came in, and they spun it off with OSHA under the Biden regime. And OSHA suddenly had workplace enforcement control and stated, if you did not have all your employees get the exact same medical procedure, you were going to get fined as an employer $50,000 per employee that didn't get a shot. So what happened? Employers start terminating everybody, which was a massive violation of HIPAA, medical freedom, and a whole host of things to name it that. I mean, you can't say you're not getting a medical, you're not getting this medical apparatus done, you're not getting an experimental injection done, you're terminated. You can't do that in the United States. We have freedoms here for a reason. All those are violated. And so this is something that I've never let go. I will never let go at any point in time and ever agree that this is an okay. But this new medical freedom expansion bill that's been introduced now, they're seeking to make sure that mandates are unacceptable, especially when it comes to any type of medical intervention. Nobody should be forced to have medical things done to them without their true informed consent, or basically just freely. Yeah, you know what? I decide I want to be a guinea pig. I want to get a lab where I get a shot. Okay, that's your right. But nobody has the right to tell you have to do it. So, side note on here, one thing I want to add. This is an interesting story because, I mean, I guess I nailed it on the head 7 years ago, but nobody bothered to listen to me. And I talked to a friend about it yesterday in the automotive industry. He was like, he said, the EV market has single-handedly disrupted the entire car sector across the board without people even knowing it. And the article here says automakers pump brakes on EV investment as federal subsidies stop. EVs will grow very slowly, if at all, and start downgrading here on out to a saturated market and lack of consumer demand, along with enormous depreciation losses on vehicles. And he said one thing that nobody's talking about now, that this $7,500 electric rebate that was insane that got pushed through under Biden, has now been removed from President Trump, is killing the automotive industry in the EV market, but it's also trickling to all the other vehicles. Because what's happening is, in the automotive industry, so my buddy explained to me yesterday, he goes, you got one big giant pool of vehicles. It doesn't matter if they're EV, electric, diesel cars, whatever. It's an automotive industry. You've got loans. And he said, these cars now, these EV vehicles, almost everybody that financed an EV that currently still has one is now significantly upside down if they didn't pay cash for it. Now, if you pay cash, you just took a big loss, but it's cash. You're not a loan that you still owe. And he said what's happened is now the new electric vehicle sales and shares is dropping precipitously. The automotive makers are losing money hand over fist on them. They can't sell the ones they need. They're having to put on $10,000 and $15,000 rebates and eat the cost of them now while raising the prices on other vehicles. And this is what happens. This is how they tie together, is that all the other manufacturing sectors like the gas F-150s, the diesel F-250s, the MSRPs got raised up considerably, Chevy 2500s, over the last 5 to 6 years to compensate for the EV expenditures and the EV loss sectors. EVs have never been profitable. Everybody tells you Tesla and all these different things, oh, they make all this money. The only reason Tesla is even remotely successful is because of, once again, government grants and subsidies. Tesla would never have been able to stand on its own legs if it didn't have the government backing it from the very beginning. Period. Never would have happened. Couldn't have done. We couldn't cash flow. And so these vehicles now are messing up the entire vehicle sector because it caused the MSRPs to go up significantly on regular gas diesel. The EVs now are so expensive just in general. But now they're putting these $10,000, $15,000 rebates. Everybody knows now, if you don't live under a log in the middle of North Fork, Montana, basically living on a generator off the grid, which, by the way, North Fork's pretty cool. I've been up there before looking at property, and it's off the grid. Is people realize, unless you live up there, that the car market, especially the EV market, is gone to trash, and it's drug everything down with it, because now what's happened is somebody finally goes, I'm sick of this golf cart. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I owe 50 grand on it. I'm going to trade it in on, you know, a Corvette, whatever the name of the car. And they come in and say, hey, I have 50 grand in this car. I want to trade it in a Corvette. Corvette's 70 grand. What can we do on it? They go, well, that's fine. You're going to need, you know, $70,000 down. Corvette's only $70,000. Well, yeah, but that $50,000 car you have isn't worth anything. You go, what do you mean it's not worth anything? Well, you know, we'll give you like 20, 30 grand on trade, maybe, if that. But you still owe 20, 30 grand upside down negative equity. So you're going to have to add that to the Corvette. We're going to discount it for you. So you're going to need the Corvette. You have to come up with $30,000 just to sell your car. And then we got to try to roll it into the Corvette. And all of a sudden, everybody's going, I can't do that. The banks won't lend on it. And so people have stopped buying vehicles. And the EV market is to blame significantly. This was a giant failure from the beginning. I talked about it in 16, 17, 18. I called this out. Do not buy these cars, especially finance them, unless you want to have a cool little go-kart to drive around in. They're cool if that's what you're buying them for. You're going to charge them in your house. You got solar panels. You're doing something like that. The car's paid for, whatever. But buying these things and financing a $100,000 EV vehicle, don't do it, especially if you don't have any wisdom now. And that is one of the entire reasons why this car market is so soft right now in a lot of these cars. And what's happened is the raw cars, the cars that are real, true, naturally aspirated or turboed that are limited production now, if you've noticed, they're all going through the roof. You can't get them. The prices have gone to the roof because the real reality is this market now is starting to go hybrid, starting to go electric. It's the end of an era. And so be aware of that, especially if you're looking at buying a commuter vehicle or something. Make sure you do your own research. It says in December 2025, Ford announced it was canceling its flagship electric vehicle, having lost $13 billion on the F-150 Lightning. Ford announced a $19.5 billion write-down from EVs in their fourth quarter of 2025. Guys, this isn't like, oh, whoopsie, we lost a couple million on a deal and we're Ford. We're talking tens of billions of dollars, and that's with the government subsidies on top. So please do your research if you're buying vehicles, if you're buying cars. Make sure you're buying something that's going to retain its value, that's either limited or it's going to be reliable or it's going to be strong, like a good reliable name, like Honda or something, that you're still getting a decent price range. But these EV cars, if you're looking at buying something for a good car that's going to maintain value, it is now gone kaput. Everybody knows it. Do your research. Don't get caught on the back end when the music stops and you don't have a chair and you got 50,000 negative equity in a car. Just my personal advice to you guys in the vehicle industry, because I nailed it, I called it, and it's here. You can look. It's going on a downtrend now significantly. You look at the top, 24 was the peak on U.S. electric vehicle sales and shares. It's on a downtrend. I personally think this 25 is over is basically over-exaggerated on this number right here. I think it was around 7 on my own. My own was about 1 million as far as on shares. I personally think you're going to start seeing it go down, down, down. And probably by 27, 28, you're going to see this back down to 2019, 2020 levels. And that means the value of these cars will be virtually zero when you go to trade them in. Just my opinion. You guys look at it. I'm pretty good with my predictions on these markets with cars. And so be aware of it. I warned you. What do you think, Dan?
Oh, it's so funny. We had a friend of ours buy a Tesla a few years ago, and I kind of told him, I said, I can't believe you did that. And we never mentioned his name, and we mentioned it on the air. And he got so aggravated with me, he hasn't spoken to me since. And, you know, I told him in advance, I said, you know, what are you doing, dude? And then he came, he bought that Tesla Plaid. Now, that thing's fast. I'll give him credit for that. But it doesn't.
It was quick. It was quick.
You know, but the point is that, you know, he paid, you know, a bunch of money for it, probably close to $100,000. And it's probably worth $30,000 or $40,000 now. And once these subsidies all stop, as far as the purchase of the new ones, because that's what people were doing. They were trading them in on new ones, and they're getting some of their money back in the initial stages of this. The people thought they were pretty cool. But, you know, then he came down here, I remember, and he had to stop like 2 or 3 times. And it's only like a 7-hour drive. He had to stop 2 or 3 times to basically, you know, charge the car all the time. It was a total waste of time, like 2 hours every time he stopped for charging. And I told him, I said, you know, you took a 7-hour trip and you made it, turn it into a 15-hour trip. I said, this is ridiculous. And the sad part about it is I had another friend of mine. She took over payments on a Tesla. And the guy had it. He got tired of messing with it. He got tired of looking at it, and he didn't want to have to do any more maintenance on it. And she took it over from him, just payments. Didn't get put no money down, took over payments. And she was paying like $700 a month on this car. And within a year, the car had to go into the shop and had over $4,000 in damages done to it as far as the repairs. And I remember my friend went to the dealer, and she had it in hock, and she didn't have a car. So she agreed to sign a promissory note through the dealership and through the bank, if you can believe this, to get it out of hock. It wasn't even her vehicle. And then as soon as she did that and got it out of the hock, the guy who owned the car filed bankruptcy on the car, Austin, and they came and took the car after she put $4,000 in it. You can't even make this stuff up. And you know, and there's
That's a bad deal.
No, my gosh, I couldn't even believe it. But again, and ladies, I'm not picking on you because I know there are a lot of ladies out there that can really do a good car deal. I got that, right? I've just never seen one of them. I'm just going to be honest with you. They ended up getting scammed, and these guys come and say all kinds of stuff they're going to do for them at the dealership, and they lie to them, and they get them to sign paperwork, and they get them to put all these different options and all this different equipment and all this other dealership install stuff and all these different warranties and all this other stuff. One lady I knew had shit. They signed up for $8,000 of additional stuff from the dealership, and the car, she ended up paying like $80,000 for a used, you know, the Lincoln. And the car was worth, you know, this is during COVID, the car was worth about $30,000 right before she bought it. It went through the roof, and then she ended up basically having to pay it all down because she'd already filed bankruptcy once. Her mom had co-signed it, and unless her mom was going to go bankruptcy, she couldn't get rid of it. And then she had it up in the Jacksonville area, and they had that hurricane come through last year and flooded it and destroyed it. It's unbelievable. And so you got to be real careful with car deals. Always go to multiple dealers and ask them what the out-the-door price is. Don't ask them what they're asking for the car, and that means absolutely nothing. They can have a $2,000 or $3,000 dealer fee and add-ons on that car.
Let me add one thing on there, too. This is something to be very – this is just a hack, and the dealers are going to hate me when I say this right now. When you first start doing your research and getting bids or quotes on a car from dealerships, do not tell them you're financing the car or trading in anything on the car. Tell them that you want a cash buy on the car. I am thinking about coming in and buying this car. It's going to be a cash deal, maybe, and I need to get a out-the-door price on a cash deal with no trade. This way, they can't manipulate the numbers. One thing dealers love to do is they love to do shell games. You come in and say, yeah, I'm trading in this car. Here it is. I'm trading in a 2020 Honda Accord, and right, I'm financing it. What they do is they manipulate your payoff, they manipulate the value of your car, and they manipulate their car, and they spin it all around. And they give you a buyer's order with all these numbers on it and say, oh, by the way, this is going to be your payment at the bottom. And the vast majority of people can't figure out the numbers, because I'll even tell you, I've seen them unbelievably complicated on buyer's order. This number, this number, subtract this, we added this, we're giving this on trade, and this is your payoff, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And I'll say, look at the bottom, your payment's only going to be $500 a month. Well, invariably, you didn't realize they're giving you $5,000 less on your trade than it's worth. They're charging $5,000 more on the car you're buying more than it's worth. And they're charging 12% interest on the loan. But they've manipulated it down. They put on an 84-month note. So your payments down are staying the same. And everyone goes, oh, my payments are only going up $50 a month. I can afford this. They sign it. And then invariably they go to trade it in a year or two and they realize they're upside down. Be cautious. Get an out-the-door price on a cash buy on a car. And do not think they're going to do anything to you unless it's on the WIO statement. There's a paper on every form you fill out. It says WIO. If they don't have something or they owe you, a set of tires, a free oil change, whatever you agree to, if it's not on the WIO statement side, they will never honor it, nor they do it. The, oh, we're going to do this for you later on. It's a hookup. Wink, wink, wink. Just trust us. Don't trust them. They're lying if it's not on the WIO. Just wanted to add that on there, Dad.
Oh, you know something funny, Austin. Who taught you all this stuff?
Well, trial and error on my own, and I watched you for about 20 years on this.
I had a friend of mine just a few months ago, he bought a Suburban, and they had the diesel engine in it, small diesel, which is a real good engine, but you don't want to pass 100,000 miles.
No, EPA's ruined that motor now.
Well, what they've done, and I told him, he bought this thing and it had all the stuff wrong with it. And they told him it had a 90-day warranty on it, right? And it had all this deferred maintenance on it. And they told him they were going to put a new timing chain, all this stuff. They just gave him a whole list of stuff. It was like that wink, wink thing, right? So he went in to get it all done, you know, after a month after he had it. Oh, is it on your WIO? And the transmission was slipping. I mean, all the stuff was wrong with it, and he didn't get it on a WIO. And I told him, I said, Bud, I said, you know, you're probably going to get hosed over on this deal. They're probably not going to do this. And sure enough, they haven't done it yet. Now, they fixed a couple of little things that need to be fixed, I think, because he didn't want to turn them into the state attorney's office. But the reality is that they lie constantly. I mean, we had a great dealership to work with for years, but the guy ended up selling out the dealership, so we don't promote any dealerships any longer. And I always remember, I loved that guy who was there. He was amazing because he never, ever lied. He always told you the truth. This is what we're putting your car, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do this. And it was always clean. And I've had so many other friends that they go to buy cars, and I say, do not sign the paperwork until you let me look at the paperwork. Because they're going to add all kinds, just like you said, Austin, they'll put an extended warranty on there for another $4,000. They'll take it from a 60-month loan to an 84-month loan. You don't realize you just put in an $8,000 extended warranty.
Yep.
And because the payments went, you know, didn't go up.
And they love to do, too, that a lot of the dealers are unscrupulous with this. They'll give you a price on the car. This you have to watch out, too. They say, well, it's going to be $40,000 for the car, but, you know, before tax, tag, title, and fees. This is why you got to ask out the door. When you get there, they go, well, we have a $2,000 market adjustment fee, and we've got $800 for window tint. That's like $200. We've got nitrogen in the tires for $500. We've got the self-healing paint correction formula that's on it. And I go, is it PPF? Which is paint protection film, like 3M. Like the whole car is covered in 3M. That's expensive. That's $1,000. Oh, no. It's our custom, wink, wink, ceramic coating wax that we put on it. It's a spray bottle of turtle wax they get from Walmart that's $5, and they charge you $1,000 on it. So watch out the stupid add-ons they add on there. They're scams, too.
What was that car we looked at that one time, Austin? I forgot what it was.
That was the Nissan GTR when it came out.
And I remember the guy said, this has self-healing paint.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, and I said, give me your key real quick. And he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to scratch the paint. And I would never have done that. I was messing with him. And he goes, whoa, what do you mean? I said, I want to watch the paint self-heal. I said, this is going to be great. I mean, I've never seen anything like this before. And he goes, oh, no, you can't do that. But if it happens, it'll heal itself. And I looked at him. I started laughing at him. I said, dude, I believe for some reason that you actually believe what you're saying, but this ain't real. This is not true.
And I remember this day, we're not exaggerating. He said, and I quote, self-healing paint. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, dude, I've been in the automotive industry for years. I've been in paint booths. I've been in automotive shops. I'm like, I've got to see this. You guys have billion-dollar technology here. This is billion-dollar technology. You have a car that I can scratch it, and the paint will self-heal itself. Well, no. And would come to find out, it had a ceramic wax coating on it, which, by the way, doesn't self-heal. It'll protect you against swirl marks and stuff. Ceramic,
I remember that GTR, when it came out, was such a lousy car. It was fast, but if you did a launch with it,
That'll be the warranty.
You've voided the warranty. You blew the transmission in it. And then after a few years, they finally fixed that. But they slowed it way down when they did that. Oh, by the way, on the American Conservative wrote a really good article about the Epstein files. I want to cover this just for a minute. And, because we're right now, Massey's still coming in and saying, hey, look, you guys are withholding Epstein documents despite federal disclosure law, which is illegal, by the way. It says a little more than a year ago, current administration officials were hyping the Epstein files, telling Americans the documents would probably prove that Jeffrey Epstein operated a child sex trafficking network involving elite associates. Today, the same officials who promised transparency appeared to be concealing and obfuscating the Epstein files from the American public. Attorney General Pam Bondi was asked by Fox News about an Epstein client list, and she responded by claiming that it was sitting on my desk right now to review. Then in May 2025, you know what's such a lie? You know what they're lying about this? And this just, excuse my language, this just pisses me off. There were 3 million pages of this, Austin. Okay, that's 60 cases of paper. 60 cases. Or maybe 600 cases. I don't know. It's 5,000 per case. She basically said it was sitting on her desk. How can you get 600 cases of paper to sit on your desk? Unbelievable. And Representative Massey, who was with Representative Ro Como, District of California, Democrat of California, the driving force behind the Epstein files. And the DOJ had invited all the House Republicans on the Judiciary Committee to have dinner at Pam Bondi's office. And this hadn't happened in decades. Of course, I went, Jim Jordan said. We could each ask a question to the attorney general, said Massey. I asked about the Epstein files. I asked her when we're going to get phase two of the Epstein files. And she said, oh, my, it's just a bunch of child porn. And that way, she said to me at the time, it seemed to me like there was nothing more that I should want to look at. And that's what raised my suspicions. What it is, I'm not saying that it doesn't have a lot of underage child stuff in it, which is absolutely horrible that it has that. But it's not the question of the child porn. It's who's in the videos with the children, Austin. And that's the sad part that we're seeing over here. I know over in Europe, they're doing a lot more disclosure on TV here than they are in the United States. They're actually showing videos now of Epstein, videos of Trump, and all these people hanging out together at these meetings. I mean, this is a real mess, and it's not going to get any better. And it could wreck Trump's presidency. But the problem with it is that we have the Trumpers who are going to stay behind Donald Trump regardless of what. And I realize a lot of stuff is 30 years ago. I got that. But the problem is the covering up is totally illegal now since Congress passed that law. And I cannot believe that Pam Bondi has not been impeached. I really can't. And, frankly, at this point, we're going to have a really hard time not maintaining Republican control over Congress on this next election cycle because everybody's so sick of this and they want to know what in the world's happened and why we can't get anything done. The problem is it won't help unless Pam Bondi gets impeached or ends up getting charged. It won't help. If she gets charged, what will happen is the next person who takes that position won't do what she's done. She's covering up for the president is what she's doing, and she's being told what to do. That's why she's doing this. And if anybody can't see that, they're not paying any attention to what's going on. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, it's obscene. I mean, if we're not careful, we're going to have a full flip with the Democrats. This whole thing has gotten so obscene now. When I talk to some of these MAGA supporters, that I get it. Trump's done certain things that are positive. This ain't it, guys. 3 million pages, by the way. I just looked that up because I deal with reams of paper all the time in the office with the printer. 3 million pages of 20-pound bond copy, which is the bricks. That's 15 pallets. 3 million pages is 15 pallets of paper. One pallet contains 40 cases. Each case contains 10 reams. Each equals 200 sheets, 200,000 sheets per pallet. 3 million sheets of paper is 15 ship pallets. That's almost half a semi-truck, guys, of paper, of documents. Remember? I've got all the files on my desk right now. I've got the entire file. Get into release. It's going to be released soon. There is no file. There is no Epstein. He doesn't even exist. It's a figment of your imagination. Epstein isn't even a real person. Nothing happened. Ghislaine Maxwell isn't even real.
They called it a hoax.
For weeks. They said the Epstein hoax. Well, if it's the Epstein hoax, how do you have 3 million files on it? That's 15 pallets of paper, Pam Bondi. 15. I deal with pallets all week long. Okay? So I'm very well versed on the size of a pallet. I have certain things come in, 5 or 6 pallets in one shipment. 5 and 6 pallets is a pain in the butt to deal with sometimes and moving around and moving and getting off the truck, much less 15 pallets. And this is all Epstein documentation. And guys, think about this for a second. This is a million-dollar question. The FBI has been sitting on 3 million pages of basically Epstein. Epstein goes back as far as involvement, like you said, from the 90s. They've got all the documentation from the FBI investigating him back from the 2000s and late 2000s when he was busted with soliciting prostitution with a minor that he went to, well, 13 months in basically his comfy house and house arrest. The FBI has had this documentation. You don't acquire 3 million pages of documentation in a raid over the weekend or a couple months of investigation. We're talking decades of intel they've been building on him. Yet, why has nobody been prosecuted? Nobody's been arrested.
He went to jail for, you know, for the nighttime in this lushy place down in Miami, and every weekend he had off, and he got to leave every day for like 8 or 10 hours. I mean, it's a joke.
They have covered this because the entire system is run by sadistic pedophiles. And you're right. I've heard this now from multiple listeners and friends. I know Europe has been disclosing this significantly. Apparently over in Germany, they've also released a bunch of unredacted stuff over there, too.
No, they have. They have. No, I've seen it on the German TV. And the crazy part about all of it is you stop and you look at it and you go, we don't see this stuff in America. Well, the reason for that is who controls the media over here? Nobody wants to talk about it. We've been mentioning this for years now. Mossad is the one who backed Epstein through Israel. And Epstein is the one who basically worked for Mossad and Ghislaine and his dad. And the problem we have is that we can't be talking about that because Mossad and Israel controls almost all of our doggone media in the United States. And they don't do that over here like they do there. You know, in Germany, they don't allow you to put ads on TV for drugs. They don't let you do that. It's illegal. And so they're telling a lot more of the real truth of what's happening with all these videos of Trump and Epstein running around with all these young girls. They're showing videos of that in Germany now, not showing any sex things, but they're showing what's going on with all these young girls showing up. And the thing that blows my mind is that Trump actually allowed himself to be videotaped doing this stuff with these underage girls, or that at least they look like they're underage. I don't know. The sad part about it is that, you know, you wonder what in the world these people are thinking. I think they think they're so far above the law and they can do anything they want, Austin, that it doesn't make any difference what they do because no one's going to touch them because they're untouchable. Because remember,
look at them now.
Trump in 1989, Trump was bought out of bankruptcy by Rothschild Inc. No joke, it was Rothschild Inc. And the sad part about it is that, you know, it never ended. He is controlled through them. That's why he does whatever Israel tells him to do. It's sickening to me. We posted a bunch of articles on the website you can read to disclose all of this stuff. But whatever Benjamin Netanyahu tells him to do, and whoever's running Benjamin Netanyahu, probably Lucifer himself, you know, and they're told what to do. And so now they're sending a third aircraft carrier strike group, you know, right next to Iran over there, you know, in the Mediterranean. And they're about to start a war over here with Iran because they decided, they have deemed it so, that they want to have the Greater Israel program. But nobody wants to talk about this stuff. And it's sad because, you know, in Germany, you can actually discuss some of it, but you got to be careful what you say. But the sad part about it is we can't even talk about what's going on with Epstein and Trump and the rest of it in our media because the media is controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel that controls both AP Wire, okay, and Reuters. They control both of those. So they tell the news stations what the news is. That's why you can watch it on TV or you watch it on the internet. You'd have like 25 different stations reading the exact same script, word for word. And it's sad to me. It really, really, really is sad. By the way, this is an interesting article. I'm going to talk about it in a second. Scientist gives himself brain damage by testing a secret audio weapon on himself, basically as a microwave transmitter. The same thing from the Havana syndrome. He said the technology would not do that to anybody. He tested it on himself, and now he's got brain damage from it. I'm going to say this very clearly to everybody. There's a reason that cell phones cause brain cancer. Yep. Period. Keep the stinking things away from your head and don't sleep on top of them. Stay away from them at night. Get a Wi-Fi blocker if you have to for your cell phone case, but don't be putting this stuff next to your head and talking to it. When you have a cell phone on for hours and you're talking to somebody, put it down, and you'll find out after a couple hours if you're talking to them for a long phone call, the microwave energy from that cell phone will get super hot because it's cooking itself with microwave energy.
Yep. This is why, my friends, it's so important to do your research. Make sure you're getting your research from a reputable source. That's why here at Health Master and the Brower Show, we bring you guys the best supplements, the best research, the most up-to-date news on these topics to make sure you guys have the ability to discuss them and be educated on them so you can talk to others about it. I got a lot of other health articles I'm going to cover tomorrow. I didn't get to them all today. I got a lot of stuff as far as lined up. Great shows this week. Hope you guys are staying up to date on this stuff. Make sure if you want the B Complex, today is the last full day that it's on sale product of the week. Over 16% off. Be sure to vote for what you want to see win tomorrow on the show. Best sellers as well. Check them out. Leave us a review when you like the product. We love getting your feedback. Healthmasters.com. Thank you for the support, my friends. Call us, email us if you need anything at all. We're here for you, and we'll talk to you back again on this show tomorrow, as always, my friends. Y'all have a blessed, safe evening. Have a good night.